Gamarjoba Market Street. This is BillPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from a glass box in San Francisco Public Library. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of October, 2013. On this date, in 1629, Gyorgy Saakadze died. For context, at this time in Western Europe, there was just a total mess of religious wars. The Massachusetts colony was chartered in that year. Saakadze was a fascinating Georgian politician and military commander who played an important but contradictory role in the politics of early 17th century Georgia. Check him out. There's also a giant statue of him across from the Technical University in Sabartalo, near the new Sabartalo City Hall, which I guess is not so new anymore. 1789, George Washington officially designates the first Thanksgiving Day. 1895, The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane is published. 1932, Iraq wins independence. 1949, WERD, the first African-American-owned radio station in the United States, opens in Atlanta, Georgia. 1952, the UK successfully tests the atom bomb. 1964, the first buffalo wings are made at the Anchor Bar in Buffalo, New York. 1967, Woody Guthrie dies. 1981, Belfast May's prison hunger strike is called off after 10 deaths. 1990, East and West Germany reunite after 45 years. And in 1995, O.J. Simpson is acquitted of the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Birthdays today are Gore Vidal, James Herriot, Dallas native Stevie Ray Vaughan, and Eddie Cochran, who died aged only 21 in a car wreck in 1960 on a UK tour. By the way, Gene Vincent was in that car and was injured as well. 4 years ago today, composer and songwriter Alexander Basalayev, who led the Iberia musical group, passed away. Today it's just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for posting to the forum. We have some annoyance expressed that Cameron is not recording with us. Sorry about that. Hope on her next trip to California she'll drop on by. Questions about the song we played at the end by Marty Robbins, El Paso. If you'll remember last week, it was Marty Robbins' birthday. The song talks about love for Felina, how that's connected with the last Breaking Bad episode, which is a very popular American TV show that I have sadly never seen. For those who don't know, I look very much like the main character, and our lives have taken a similar path. But, at least officially, the fact that the last Breaking Bad episode was named Felina, and we played that song on the same day, was pure coincidence. Mostly, we're really happy to have Simon back after a long silence. He has a brilliant post about the tourist potential of Chinese Christians, about the possibility of export vouchers, and other stuff, and as always, we appreciate the derision, in this case, flung at the befuddled tourism guy we quoted last week. Welcome back, Simon. If you'd like to comment on our blog or ask a question, go to tpeelpod.com or send us an email at tpeelpod@gmail.com. My Georgian journal and Fides Politra column this week is about growing income inequality in Georgia, but also income isolation and income mobility. By the way, great new Robert Reich documentary out on the same topic called Inequality for All in theaters in the United States, briefly, since it's a documentary. So go see it quick. On the 25th of September, Bidzina met with 11 political expertebi at his business center for 4 hours. They discussed the restoration of justice, governmental staff changes, problems in the ministries, economic issues, and ongoing political events. The meeting was broadcast live on Channel 1 to demonstrate how carefully he's following the analyst BI kept referring back to his stack of papers and quoted the experts' comments published in interviews. He said that they should apply more filters to their comment. BI was asked about the deputy chief prosecutor, Lasha Natsvlishvili, who's often blamed for decisions instead of Kabilashvili, the chief prosecutor. BI responded, and I quote, "The chief prosecutor is a very honest man, and I respect him a lot, but being a good and honest person often doesn't help one manage organizational structure. Achiko has all of that, and he is a very good man, but it's hard when a lawyer has to become chief prosecutor, and Achiko understands that. There is no conflict between Lasha and Achiko. Lasha is more experienced, but not as experienced as Mr. Soso, referring to Soso Tsinsadze, described him. I don't agree with Soso. If Soso were here, I would ask him why he describes Lasha as a KGB agent when he never worked for the KGB. He finished university in 1990, and since independence has been working in the prosecutor's office. Lasha Natsvilishvili is a very talented, intellectual, educated, and experienced man. He supports Achiko, and they don't have any conflicts. I take responsibility for Kvilashvili, who is politically appointed by me. But I did that correctly. Americans as well as Europeans like him, and he feels that the prosecutor's office should be European. Lasha has the same feeling, but he's more practical and experienced. He often makes decisions instead of Kvilashvili. These kinds of incidents happen, but it's not a big problem. End quote. Watch the prosecutor's office, the deputy Lasha, and the chief prosecutor Achiko Kvilashvili. On the 2nd of October, a week after BI met with journalists in his residence and lambasted them for a lack of responsibility and dilettantism, that's for dilettantism, not a lack of dilettantism, 16 journalists, heads of newsrooms and hosts of political talk shows from major TV stations, listened to BI's views on journalism. He brought printouts of some of the journalists' questions and comments made during their talk shows, and he challenged them on these remarks. During the meeting, BI also mentioned that some journalists were not pressing Misha with difficult questions and instead just listened to his monologues. When some journalists criticized BI for not visiting the villages of Dietze and Dvani, a heated argument followed. BI said that this criticism was justified, but added that his visit would not have changed anything. He said there are thousands of others across the country who need the government's help, but he can't visit everyone because of the amount of work he has to do. Later, the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, TI Georgia, and the International Society for Fair Elections and Democracy released a joint statement which said that BI's, quote, the tone and his instructions on how reporters should formulate questions can be considered an undue interference with the work of the media, end quote. It goes on to say, quote, Georgia now finally has a pluralistic media landscape, which could be regarded as a post-election achievement. Different media outlets are accessible to large parts of the population, providing different views and narratives, allowing voters to form their own opinions. Rather than lashing out at media representatives he disagrees with, the Prime Minister should take pride in the fact that the country he leads has a largely free and pluralistic media landscape with journalists producing critical reports, reads the statement. On the 25th of September, Misha gave a speech at the UN General Assembly in which he addressed Russia's foreign policy aims and the Eurasian Union. In his speech, Misha predicted that Russia would cease being an anachronistic empire a few years from now and that Vladimir Putin would leave the Kremlin and vanish from Russian politics. Misha spoke about the recent Russian actions in the villages of Dietze and Dvani. He said that despite the Georgian government's attempts to mend relations with Russia, the Russian annexation of Georgian lands with barbed wire fences still continues. When speaking about the Eurasian Union, which BI did not rule out the possibility of joining, Misha commented that the union was shaped by, quote, ex-KGB officers in Moscow, end quote, and its main goal is to revive the old empire. He does this in part by identifying the European Union with the destruction of family values, the erosion of national traditions, and the promotion of gays and lesbians. The threat is that Georgia's traditions would collapse under Western influence, that Christian holidays would be replaced by gay pride events, and that the church would be replaced with multicultural Disneylands. In his speech, Misha also spoke briefly about his presidency and said that he takes pride in the many accomplishments that Georgia achieved during his government, which has brought the nation closer than ever to its European dream. The Russian delegation left the room in protest after the first 20 minutes of his speech. Russia's permanent representative at the UN, Vitaly Churkin, said, quote, Misha's mental condition needs professional assessment. It was not a speech, but a collection of fabricated absurdities that were anti-Russian, Russophobic, and anti-Orthodox. Luckily for Georgians, the political career of this person is coming to an end. End quote. Thank you, Vitaly. Later on the 20th, I should have done an accent for that, but I don't know, it's too easy a mark. Later on the 29th of September, supporters gathered in the Tbilisi airport to welcome Misha after his speech. They were shouting, "Long live the Georgian president." On the 22nd of October, the Georgian Dream MP, Irina Imeralashvili and Zura Abashidze, withdrew a draft bill which they had proposed, which would have barred Georgian citizens from leaving the country if so designated competent bodies determined that there was a state interest in their not leaving. You know, I'm a pretty competent body. I'd like to sort of tell some people they have to leave. I don't know about they can't leave, but okay. Anyway, these MPs were the ones who put the bill forward in the first place. The draft didn't specify which state interests or public safety risks would justify such measures. According to the bill, competent bodies was not defined precisely, but it would not have been the courts. The bill also said that if necessary, a citizen would not have been allowed to know the real reason for the measures, not even in court. Currently, a citizen can only be denied exit from the country if he or she is under investigation by law enforcement or has forged documents. The initiators of the draft bill, Imeralashvili and Abashidze, said that there was such a regulation in the Constitution and they wanted to make legislation compatible with the Constitution, which is ridiculous. Members of the UNM suspected the government wanted to use these regulations against their party members. Of course, that's true. Earlier, TI Georgia called on the parliament not to adopt the amended law, as the state already has the discretion to restrict citizens from leaving the country in cases provided by law. This was an unbelievably idiotic law to be proposed, and it's really, you know, somebody, some faction ought to, you know, put a choke on some of the nutty things that are they're proposed. So far, not too many of the nutty things have been passed, but, you know, who knows? I mean, it just looks bad. On the 30th of September, BI, the Minister of Energy, Kahi Kaladze, and the Minister of Finance, Nodar Khaduri, attended the opening presentation of the Co-Investing Foundation of Georgia. BI presented Gyorgy Bachiashvili as the Executive Director of the Foundation. Bachiashvili was an ambassador to Azerbaijan. According to him, the foundation will focus on making investments in the development of energy, tourism, agriculture, and investors in the foundation will be both Georgian and foreign. BI announced that he would donate $1 billion of his own money to the project, which is only 15% of the total funds. BI also noted that one of the first projects which the foundation will sponsor will be the construction of a new port in Anaklia. The investors in the foundation include Dahabi Group, Rocky Investment Authority, the State Oil Fund of the Republic of Azerbaijan, Batumi Industrial Holdings Limited, and the family of the late tycoon Badri Patrikatsvili, among others. If this happens, great, but this is a giant pile of money, and to speak frankly, they have no idea how to oversee this. I mean, there just are not plans for it to be sufficiently transparent and clearly overseen. It's currently registered offshore and is a mess. But a mess with a great deal of potential. So let's hope that they get this figured out. I mean, it's been a year, and they have not done it yet. But let's hope that before things start, they get it set up right. I think TI is going to be coming out with a statement about that pretty soon, and it's definitely worth watching because this is sort of the 800-pound gorilla in the corner of the Georgian economy. One question that many people have is, what if your competitor gets a loan from this fund funded by the prime minister to the tune of $1 billion? Does that mean that you're going to be at a disadvantage, not just from the money, but in terms of everybody's perception? On the 28th of September, Misha called out former U.S. ambassador to Azerbaijan, Matt Bryza, for saying that it was a big mistake for Georgia to open fire in 2008 after the Russians and Ossetians bombed Georgian villages. Misha said, quote, "This is idiotism. What does this mean? Russians and Ossetians opened fire at us, and what were we to do? You are citing Matt Bryza as if he were Jefferson, Washington, or the main legislator of the world. When a country is bombed, it is the purest and constitutional obligation of the president and the government to open responsive fire." So the Constitution of Georgia obliged the president to do what he did. Who knew? Misha's beginning to sound a little like Ted Cruz. On the 2nd of October, Misha commented on the installation of wire fences and said that Russia plans to enclose the Baku-Supsa pipeline, Ganmachuri, and other territories in Samegrelo region. On the 30th of September, during the meeting with Ambassador members of the Political and Security Committee of the European Council, BI asked the EU to respond to the emergency situation along the administrative boundary with the Abkhaz and Skhinvali regions. On the 30th of September, UNM presidential candidate Dato Bakradze visited the village Dvani. He called the political powers to stop political activity for a day and protest the creeping annexation together. EUMM expressed concern over the installation of wire fences. On the 28th of September, Georgian journalists formed a human chain and performed the national anthem of Georgia near the ABL in the village of Dvani. More than 100 Georgian reporters arrived there to protest the installation of barbed wire fences by the Russians, which has moved the administrative boundary line further back into Georgia-controlled territory, in particular in the territories of Dizi and Dvani. Locals from the village of Khurcha in Zubdidi region, which is located near the ABL, think that the Russians will push back the line to occupy the village. According to them, the Russians opened a control checkpoint there about 2 months ago, and the population of Khurcha was given the opportunity to go to Abkhazia. Locals claim that Russians are going to annex the village. On the 24th of September, Zonanews.ge posted exclusive photos of Russian soldiers' wives and children posting in front of the South Ossetian ABL sign. Some pictures were taken in vineyards, gardens, and ruins of houses once owned by Georgians. Later, on the 29th of September, Newposts.ge posted pictures of Russian soldiers entitled, quote, "How the Russian Occupiers Are Having Fun When They Are Not Installing Barbed Wire Fences," end quote. The pictures were taken in Georgian villages currently occupied by Russians. On the 3rd of October, the spokesperson, that being today, the spokesperson for the Ministry of Internal Affairs, Nino Ghirgobiani, held a briefing related to the jihadist video released in June. As a reminder, the video titled "Taliban Jihad Against Georgian Troops in Afghanistan" was released on YouTube, and it showed Georgian soldiers injured and killed during the mission, while a narrator claims that the same fate awaits all Georgians in Afghanistan. After the investigation into the case, the citizen of Kyrgyzstan, Samar Chokutayev, was accused of posting the video. He works at a mobile communications company in Sukhumi and was charged with spreading information calling for a terrorist act. According to the ministry, the investigation established that Samar Chokutayev attempted to hide his identity by posting the video through servers in Malaysia to routers in Tbilisi to give the impression that the crime was committed in offices in Tbilisi. He was sentenced to detention by the Tbilisi City Court. BI and the Finance Minister Khaduri met the chairman of the new High Council of Justice, Levan Murusidze, who oversees the judicial system. They discussed a possible pay raise for judges. After the meeting, BI said that Murusidze convinced him and Khaduri that judges and the judicial staff are in need of higher salaries. Currently, the monthly salaries vary from 2,000 to 5,000 lari. Not a bad salary in Georgia. Last time judges got a pay raise was in 2008. This question of increasing payment for judges is a very important one, and not so well-timed considering that there's real sort of jockeying among the two sides of the political scene for which way the judiciary will go. So this salary issue coming up now is not so healthy. For those who remember, after the Rose Revolution, the judges under Shevardnadze were forced out by saying that if they were fired, they would receive no pension. But if they voluntarily resigned, they would get pensions for life. The last few to go put up quite a fight and were threatened quite seriously. It was very unpleasant to watch. On the 1st of October, the Georgian Dream Coalition celebrated the anniversary of their victory in the 2012 parliamentary elections with an event on Erekle Meore Square in which BI and presidential candidate Georgi Margvelashvili addressed their supporters. Actress Nineli Chankvanadze congratulated Georgia on Bidzinoba. She said, "I congratulate you on Bidzinoba. Mr. Bidzina, you are the savior of the nation." According to a survey conducted by Tsiko Proyekti, Georgian Dreams candidate Margvelashvili is leading the presidential hopefuls with 56%. According to the survey, UNM's candidate Dato Bakradze has 12, Nino Bourjanadze has 10, Shalvanatelashvili has 3. According to other questions from the survey, the church has more confidence than any other institution, followed by the armed forces and the patrol police, which showed better results than the Ministry of Internal Affairs. Interior Ministry Nakhli Kharabashvili is leading in the minister's efficiency rating. He is followed by Defense Minister Irakli Alassania and Energy Minister Kahi Kaladze. The fourth and fifth places were taken by Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani and Economy Minister Georgi Kvitikashvili. The survey was carried out in 11 regions in Georgia from the 16th to the 23rd of September. A total of 2,200 respondents were interviewed. What's happening right now with this this presidential election is that Burjanadze, which seems to have a pile of money, offices and advertisements and whatever else, seems to be sucking away a few of the hardcore anti-UNM supporters, which is strange considering that she was the Speaker of Parliament under UNM for so long and was so much an enabler of so much of what they did that people had concerns with. But she's now staking out that territory. In his Sunday sermon at the Trinity Cathedral, Ilya II talked about the importance of the presidential elections. He called on people to go and vote, quote, for the candidate which you think will be able to lead the country in this very difficult time, end quote. Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ulava assessed the new government's year in office. According to him, unemployment and crime have increased and economic growth has stopped in recent months. Ulava said, quote, today Georgia looks like a ship which is in rough water and has nowhere to go. If the ship does not start to move, it could sink, end quote. On the 27th of September, the Parliamentary Committee on Education, Science, and Culture supported a draft law initiated by Georgian Dream MP and Committee Chair Vano Kiguradze, which would allow talented students to enter the university without passing the national exams, provided they have been highly evaluated in the International Olympic Games or creative arts competitions. The law would be retroactive for people who failed to overcome the minimal competence level for entry. UNM MP Sergo Ratiani stated that Kiguradze asked the Education Minister Tamar Sanikidze to help pianist Irma Gigani, granddaughter of famous Georgian poet Janson Chartviani, to become a student at the Tbilisi Conservatory after she failed a portion of the national exams. According to Ratiani, he has Tamar Sanikidze's letter, which is dated from August, in which he replies to Kiguradze that it would be an abuse of power if the ministry made such an exception. Ratiani said that a similar letter was also sent to Maya Mimunoshvili, head of the National Exam Center, who also replied that she could not make an exception. On the 26th of September, the opening presentation of the project, The Price of the State, was held at the Tbilisi Marriott. Price of the State website is an innovative tool for analyzing public finances and the state budget in Georgia. The project was implemented by the Economic Policy Research Center under the framework of East-West Management Institute's GPAC program, which is funded by USAID. The project is the analog of the Slovak priceofthestate.org project. On the website, you can find information about how much you pay for the state budget and how much you pay for services in Georgia. You can also check the information about expenditures of various ministries, the number of public sector employees and their remuneration, and the state budget deficit, the budget expenditures of autonomous republics and state debt. In the near future, an equivalent project is planned to be implemented in Azerbaijan and Ukraine. On the 30th of September, the Central Elections Commission published a list of international polling stations, which will open on the 27th of October. The list does not include Russia because of the lack of diplomatic relations. According to the webpage, polling stations will open in, our Tpilpod listeners abroad, take note, Austria, Azerbaijan, the United States, Belarus, Belgium, Bulgaria, Germany, Denmark, Great Britain, Egypt, Spain, Estonia, Turkey, Jordan, Ireland, Israel, Italy, Canada, Cyprus, Latvia, Lithuania, Moldova, Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Greece, France, Slovakia, Armenia, Uzbekistan, Ukraine, Hungary, Kuwait, Kazakhstan, Sweden, Switzerland, and the Czech Republic. On the 27th of September, Georgia marked 20 years since the fall of Sukhumi. The war in Abkhazia from 1992 to 1993 was waged chiefly between Georgian government forces on the one side and Abkhaz separatists, Russian armed forces, and North Caucasian mercenaries on the other. Ethnic Georgians who lived in Abkhazia fought largely, but not entirely, on the side of the Georgian government. More than 10,000 Georgian soldiers and civilians were killed in the war. 300,000 IDPs were left homeless. The war lasted 13 months and 13 days. It ended with the fall of Suchumi and the defeat of the Georgian forces on the 27th of September, 1993. According to the Institute for Development of Freedom of Information, in the last 6 months of 2013, police imposed fines of 31 million lari on citizens, which is a 70% increase compared to the same period for 2012. On the 29th of October, a group of protesters gathered outside the old Parliament building on Rustaveli Avenue in Tbilisi and burned effigies of Misha and UNM's presidential candidate, Dato Bakradze. The organizers of the rally said the protest was not against the current government, but the participants were calling on the authorities to speed up the restoration of justice and to punish everyone responsible for crimes committed by the previous authorities. On the 28th of September, students and locals protested the launch of the construction of Khudoni Electric Power Station in Svaneti. According to the protesters, cultural and religious monuments may be flooded while the project does not benefit the development of the Georgian economy and instead only benefits the interests of private investors. According to CNN, Georgia takes the seventh position among the top 10 countries where there is a comfortable environment for doing business, CNN says. Georgia has removed layers of red tape in recent years, now requiring registration and opening a new bank account, which are expected to take 2 days. According to the same data, New Zealand is ranked as the easiest place to start a small and medium-sized enterprise. On the 1st of October, Misha hosted winemakers from California and Cajete region at a newly opened teaching center of winemaking in Kvareli. The guests visited the president's vineyard and tasted Georgian wine. Representative of Semler's Malibu Oasis, Ronald Semler, thanked Misha for the invitation. He talked with local winemakers about his technologies of winemaking and shared his business experience. The Agriculture Ministry reported that state companies purchased and processed 15% of the total harvested volume of grapes. Georgia's total production this year has been 80,000 tons. Out of 81 companies involved in grape purchases this year, 79 are private companies, while 2 are state-owned. The ministry pointed out that due to inexpensive loans to the private sector and subsidized prices, the demand on Saperavi was very high. In parliamentary news, the Committee on Environmental Protection listened to an Environment Ministry self-evaluation for the last year. According to the Environment Minister, Kalma Khalidze, in order to improve the institutional changes and correct some legislative gaps, 47 legislative acts have been prepared and endorsed. The committee also discussed the head of the National Forest Agency, Bidzina Ghirgoviani's National Forest Policy concept. According to him, this will be a framing document which will become the basis for legislative and infrastructural changes. According to the draft law initiated in the Education Committee, violating the norms of state language will lead to administrative responsibility for officials and the representatives of mass media. Basically, this means fines for grammatically incorrect usage of the Georgian language. According to the initiative, the amendments would be applied not only to the law on state language, but to the administrative code as well. According to the proposed amendments, public officials could be fined 200 to 500 lari for grammatical mistakes in the official document. A repeated offender will have higher fines, up to 1,500 lari. According to the proposed amendments, mass media outlets may also be fined for violating the norms of the Georgian language. For a first offense, they would receive a 1,000 to 5,000 lari fine, and for repeated infractions, the fine would be up to 10,000 lari. The meme this week comes from Jumpstart Georgia's Feradi.info. In Georgia, where 36% of the population is living below the minimum subsistence level, the public agencies give to the Orthodox Church valuable gifts worth millions of lari from taxpayers' money. The Orthodox Church has also presented valuable gifts to public figures. Jumpstart Georgia visualized some of the mutually beneficial state-church relationship in Georgia. We'll post this on the forum. It is a great poster. Take a look at this. Things to read: Peter Plobiel's article on bankwatch.org about the Khudori Hydro Power Plant project in Svaneti is very instructive for those who are interested in that. Article on the Messenger Online about upcoming presidential elections and candidate profiles. article on EurasiaNet.org by Paul Rimple, Molly Corso, and Justina Melnikowitz about missing people from the Abkhaz War. T.I. George's article about a vacancy for one commissioner at the Georgia National Communications Commission and the possible risk with conflict of interest among candidates. All these things to read are posted on our forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 66, which is the ranking of Georgia in terms of travel and tourism competitiveness. Travel and Tourism Competitiveness Report 2013, published by the World Economic Forum, ranks 140 countries according to their attractiveness and ability to develop their travel and tourism sector. According to the report, Switzerland, Germany, and Austria lead the world in terms of travel and tourism competitiveness. Haiti scored the lowest on the index. Russia is ranked 63rd. Azerbaijan occupies 78th position, followed by Armenia at 79th. One of the rankings was how welcome tourists are in each country. The world's most unfriendly countries, according to the data, are Bolivia, Venezuela, and Russia. By contrast, Iceland and New Zealand were ranked the world's most welcoming nations for visitors. Georgia takes 33rd place in this statistic, while Armenia and Azerbaijan are 95th and 82nd positions, respectively. Okay, first of all, hats off to the Kiwis for doing so well in everything. But I have a question. If Russia is one of the most unfriendly countries to visitors, and we know that it's incredibly difficult for everybody to get Russian visas, whereas Georgia has visa-free travel for practically everybody, and as everyone knows, is very welcoming, how come the Russians got 63rd and we ended up with 66? I don't think that's fair, and I just totally reject that. World Economic Forum, what do they know in Davos? The week's English language movie at Rustaveli Movie Theater across from Parliament is on Saturday, the 5th of October, Runner Runner at 6 p.m. Tickets are 10 lari, 50 tetri. From the 4th to the 6th of October, Tbilisi will celebrate Tbilisi Oba. There will be a number of musical, cultural, and competitive events and performances around the city. For more information, check out tbilisioba.ge. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email address is tbilpod@gmail.com, or post to the forum on our website at www.tbilpod.com. And now, to add a bit more sleaze into the podcast, let's finish with the 1993 hit O Carolina by Shaggy. Just be glad I didn't go for Boombastic.
Shishaka. Watch all Shira.